And he had made a 360 degree turn that we can see the hands of God. They teach us not to see man, but to see God high and lifted up. They did not come as a bishop and say, see me. They removed themselves from the equation and say, look, let God minister to you.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes it is very hard for us to at least sometime to cut off our children, to cut off our family. Mm-hmm. But we have to know what God is saying, what God is showing us, the plans and the purpose that God have for us. We got to realize that it's not about us. We got to recognize that. But so many people out in the world, they are broken. Hallelujah. Some of the churches have lost their glory, and God is doing a new thing even in this season. Yeah. So we have to see God for direction every day. Mm-hmm. When I look and I see how the hands of God is working in the ministry, this morning I prepare a message to, I had my plans to just go to church, have prayer, worship, and bring the word. But God said, this is not man's way. Yeah. And this is not Burger King, have it your way. Yeah. This is Jesus' way. And to see how God took the service, hallelujah, in a whole nother realm. To see people were slain on the floor without no one touching them. That's the power in praise, the power that you possess, and because of the leadership that we're under. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We just see the magnificent move of God. You never know how God is gonna move in the name of Jesus. And we got, even though we're pastors, you gotta take yourself. I'm speaking to some leadership today. Yeah. You gotta take yourself out of the way. Remove yourself from the equation and allow God to give what he needs to get to the people. For only God have a time and a place and an order, a divine order in which he execute things. When I look to see the hard work that God has used my bishops, hallelujah, the anointing that has they have transferred into our life, and to see how God is moving, I am so excited. I am excited because I want everyone in Radio Land, hallelujah, to feel this anointing, to benefit from the anointing. But there's no distance in prayer. There is no distance in the spirit. I dare you, to get in place with God. I dare you to open up your mouth and praise God. Yeah. What he said is not by might, nor by power, but it's by your spirit. The word of God declare that if you are a living being, if you're breathing breath, open your mouth and praise God. You have a praise on the inside, and praise is what's going to bring you out. But you see, the church have fallen, they have fallen back because no one want to praise. God said that Judah is praise. Judah is in the house, in the churches every day, waiting to get intimate with somebody. But because we go in the church, we have so much going on in our mind. We take on so much unnecessary worries. We take on the worries of our children. We take on distraction. Yeah. We take on all these things. Hallelujah. And we can't praise God. We worried about everything other than God. We in the presence of God, the very presence of God that's going to cause your praises, hallelujah, to take you to the next level. We allow distraction to come forward and block this from going forward. When the Bible tells you that in order for you to go forward, you have to lay down every weight, every load, and everything, every sin that easily besets you, so you can run freely to run to God and not running from God. But the enemy have us going in all different directions. Praise God, and God's people are missing what God wants to do.
Yeah.
And as God was dealing with me about praises from Psalms 100, when he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He says, serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Yeah. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. See, we are missing because we think that we can enter in the house of God any way. It don't happen like that. God is really asking for procession. Procession, it means a number of people are vehicles that is moving forward in an orderly fashion, even as a first ceremony. That is what God is asking for. Mm-hmm. It is a kind of way that you have to proceed in the house of God. And that is meaning while you are in the procession, you get rid of everything that you've been through all week. You forget about your problem. All you forget about your situation. Yeah. And put your heart and your mind to set on the King and do what God has called you to do. Because you was called and created to worship God. Yeah. And he set a condition in place, not just any worship. I'm not talking about go in his house and give lame worship. Not a worship of lip service, but worship from the heart. Yeah. The posture of your heart. God will be right. Hallelujah. How many know that your praises, you can pray all you want. Fast, and those things can stop the enemy from operating. But your praise is what's gonna shift things for you. Your praise is what's gonna bring the blessings, all these things you need at your disposal. Yeah. Your praise, hallelujah, is what's gonna pull down stronghold. Because there is power in your praise in the name of Jesus. Yeah. See, Judah, you got to get intimate with Judah. Mm-hmm. Judah want to get intimate with you because Judah want to produce. You don't know the power that praise produce. Power to stop, hallelujah, the enemy from operating. You have power to let walls fall. Whatever Jericho wall you're facing in your life today, I want you to know that the power is in your praise. If you don't know about the power, ask somebody about the book of Joshua. When God gives specific instruction to march around the wall of Jericho, it was a power in the praise that allowed the walls to fall down. Hallelujah. So he could possess the land. It's the same power. Hallelujah. Is in your praise. You may not be physically up against a Jericho wall, but spiritually you are. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're going through today, you got to get back to the old landmark. You got to get back to the place of worship. You got to get what God is saying. He's requiring worship in the name of Jesus. He's requiring praise in the name of Jesus. And if we cannot give God what we want, hallelujah, some of us think that we are indispensable. But God can raise up rocks to worship him. God can raise up rocks to praise him and get results. God is saying today, get out of yourself. Get back to the old landmark in the name of Jesus. Get back to what God is requiring the church to do. He said praises. If songwriter said, praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. You got to praise on the inside as long as you're living. If you're a living being, there is a praise on the inside of you. I dare you to open your mouth and praise God wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever position you hold in life. How many know that praise can veto and turn things around? Anything that is put out in the atmosphere, even the world system, anything that they implement that is not of God, that is what will not bless and honor God and take care of his people in the name of Jesus. Anything to cause oppression, you have that praise on the inside. You have the power to make change in the name of Jesus. This is something that God has put in place, and we need to follow it. We got to take it back. Get in the place where you can listen to God, where you can hear from God. Yeah. But it is God, the Holy Spirit, that comes to lead you and teach you and guide you in all truth in the name of Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul, he said that when you do all you can stand, when you fast, when you pray, you seek God, stand up on the word, stand up on his promise, and praise God, because there is power, wonder working power that lie in the praise. If you praise God with a right posture of heart, then the power of the Holy Ghost will rise up in the inside, and it shall cause change to happen in your life. When you praise God, how many knows that Your praise can impact those around you. People around you can be delivered based on your praise. Yeah. When Paul and Silas was thrown in jail, Apostle, my bishop, he says that it was the power in the praise in the midnight that caused God to send forth an earthquake and shake that prison.
Yeah.
And even though they were in bonds and chain in the middle, God sent the earth angel, hallelujah, to destroy, to break those bonds, and the prison doors was open even unto those who had nothing to do with Paul and Silas. Yeah. But that the same power in your praise, those that you're believing God for, those that you're praying for, those that are living around you, your power can bring forth change and deliverance in their life.
Amen.
So you got to get back to the old landmark. Get in place with God where you can hear from God. If you don't, if you can't hear from God, get with the leadership. Get with the anointing, the leadership that have the anointing flow like rivers of living water. Because I know my life had changed. I did not know what God want me to do. I never hear from, used to be able to hear from God until I get my mom and my dad in my life. Oh, Bishop G and Bishop Rebecca, in the mighty name of Jesus. God used them to change my life a 360 degree, because I had a leader in my life that was like King Hosea, just as King Hosea was to Isaiah. Hallelujah. But God has took King Uzziah and allow me to see God high and lifted up because of the leadership that he has blessed me with. And as I take on the spirit of my leader, I see God is doing so much things.
Praise God.
The glory of the church is going to be restored in the name of Jesus. God is taking us to our next level in him.
Amen. So in order for this to happen, you got to give him your full attention and get rid of distraction. God bless you, everybody. Hope you were blessed. And remember that today is another day of miracles. Be blessed.
I must soak up your spirit like a sponge to release your power.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the
Welcome, everyone. It's time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And if you just caught that show right before us, Truth Talk, you know about that anointed Pastor Paula who was preaching the word, that amazing Dr. Rebecca. I don't know your title, Monique. Pastor Monique? Minister Monique? And then we've got Bishop over there, Bishop George sitting there. Okay. And we are about to welcome all of you to our church home next Sunday morning at 10 a.m., where we're going to have church. I told the people today, I have a general idea of where we're headed next week, but it's always general when you allow the Holy Spirit to do his thing. And we are going to have church. It's going to be a powerful, powerful day. So people out there, wherever you are in Radio Land, this wonderful congregation, and the name of your congregation is not Truth Talk, it's
True Life Testimony. True.
Okay, True Life Testimony, right? Okay, and they are coming to our facility, Beacon of Hope, at 2058 Weaver Park Drive next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And we are going to have church as a unified body of believers. And yeah, we're all from different backgrounds, different where we grew up and occupations, but we're all the same. We're disciples. Heard you talking about disciples. I've been teaching this series, Becoming Disciples, for the last several weeks. And today what I was preaching on was becoming disciples. Disciples are willing to be trained and taught. And it was a powerful day. Stepped on toes today. Praise God, all for the glory of God, right? Minister Monique's dancing in the studio. All right, that's what we want to do. Disciples are willing to be trained and taught. And so often people are not willing. They want to just jump right in. I'm this material. I'm that material. I need to be this in your church. I need to be that. Disciples, true disciples, are willing to be trained and taught. Just like that all of us have been, you know, and are still being trained and taught. You know, it never stops, you know. You just keep going, and God's Holy Spirit teaches you. He brings new revelation into your life. He moves in your life, and there's a shift that happens so often, you know, right? There's a shift that happens, and sometimes you think you're going along a certain way, and this is how the church is going, and suddenly there's a shift, and God's got you in a new dimension, and we've been in this discipleship dimension now for about 6 weeks. And because God is wanting to grow the body of Christ up.
Yes.
Grow it up, right? And not stay in the same ruts we've been in. Not stay in the same way we've always thought is the way we should do something. But be willing to expand our vision and be willing to say, come on, God, we're here to do what you want us to do. And that's how this thing grew for this combined service next Sunday. And I can't tell you, I am so completely excited. I am thrilled that this is about to happen. And so, listeners out there in Radio Land, welcome. Come and experience this dynamic service that we're going to have next Sunday morning. Dr. Rebecca will be singing a couple of her songs that she's written and recorded. We're excited about that. We're going to have great music. I got to do a certain Tasha Cobb song next Sunday. That, I mean, that's where I'm coming from, okay? My skin may look white to you. It's tan, but I mean, it's really my heart. In Indiana, when I pastored up there, our worship leader was this huge woman, big, beautiful black woman. Her name was Sylvia. She's now with the Lord. But Sylvia used to say to me all the time, you are a great big black preacher inside of you. That's what's there. That's how I feel. And we are so excited that we are able to bring families together here and do this. So Tasha Cobbs is on the agenda for next Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great. So we welcome y'all out there. Come and join us and experience what God is going to get done. Because it's going to be wild. And if you're sick, you need to be there next Sunday morning. If you're sick, do not let the devil say to you, well, you're sick, you need to stay home. No, no, no. You need to come to the house of the Lord, right? Come get your healing. Absolutely. Because that's going to happen. The healing river is going to flow next Sunday morning, along with prophetic ministry and whatever else God's got in store, right? Did you have anything else you want to add to that, Dr. Rebecca? All right, we love you. We'll see you then. Plus a great big dinner, so bring your appetite too. Bishop George, anything you want to add? You got it? Okay, we'll see y'all next Sunday morning. Praise God. Pastor Paula, looking forward to it. All right, so that's what's going on in our neck of the woods at Beacon of Hope next Sunday morning. And I don't know about you, Pastor Jim, and you, Nan, but I couldn't be more excited. I honestly could not. Pastor Jim, talk to us.
Oh, I can tell you're excited.
I am.
Because Bishop George had some throat issues. I was out there, I was talking to him. I started preaching. We were preaching.
Were you back and forth?
That was great. So I'm really looking forward to next week.
Well, that's kind of how it's going to go next week. We don't know how it's going to go. I told you all this morning at Beacon of Hope, we know what the first couple songs are, and from then on, we don't have any idea how it's all going to come together and what God's going to get done. You know, it's one of these things that I just love the fact that we have become friends with these people. Clear back in our early days of being on this in this radio station, they had a show before us. Then they went off the air for a while, and then they came back. And it's so nice to be able to rekindle our friendship. Nan, tell me how you're feeling about this next Sunday.
I am just really, really excited about it. You know, we have kindred spirit with them.
Well, we basically believe the same, I think.
We do.
Yeah, we're charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call us.
Right.
Word, teaching, preaching, all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be, I mean, I know that when we come in here, there's, as is, was this just a few minutes ago, such a jubilee type of
just seeing
atmosphere.
Each other.
Just seeing each other. I mean, I can hardly wait and see what's going to happen next Sunday when their entire congregation comes over with them. And, I mean, we mesh together.
We do.
We're all the same family.
Yes, we are.
And it's going to be, I mean, I tell you what, if anyone's in the Tampa Bay area, they need not to miss that service. They need to be at that service at 10 o'clock next Sunday because it is going to be totally wild.
It truly is. Pastor Jim, you want to add your 2 cents?
Well, yeah. I know you gave me a list of songs. I'm just going to be curious as to see how many of them we actually do.
I know. That's why I said this morning, I know the first two, we're going to do that. But then we just let the Holy Spirit lead. Dr. Rebecca and Bishop George will be each sharing for a few minutes. You'll be sharing a little bit. I think we might all just do some team teaching, preaching. I don't know how that might be an interesting dynamic. Hard telling what God's going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, hard telling. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you don't want to miss church at Beacon of Hope next Sunday morning, starting at 10 a.m. on the nose, we hope. And 10 a.m., Pastor Jim always laughs at me when I say we're going to start on time, but that's always my goal.
I know it's your goal.
It's a goal, but it doesn't always get that way. So 10 a.m. and followed by an amazing carry-in dinner. And if you haven't already signed up for something, just bring a dessert, a vegetable, salad, something, and join us. As far as our good friends at McKay's, we're not asking them to bring anything. This is our deal. We're going to provide. So we're excited about that. You know, as we go through life, there's all kinds of things that happen to us. And from time to time, we are just look at our circumstances and we feel discouraged. We feel defeated. And God would say today to our listeners and to those out there who are struggling with issues today, He has the answer. I was thinking about that old Andre Crouch song, Jesus is the answer for it. Is that who it was?
Yeah, Jesus is the answer for the world today.
That's it. And with him, there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Oh, you know it too, Nan.
Of course she does.
All right. She spoke her lyrics, Pastor Jim. You sang yours. But the truth is, Jesus is the answer. And I think we try to make it so complicated in our lives so often, and I got to figure this out, I got to figure that out, when if we just spend more time with God in His Word, listening to His voice, taking time in praise and worship, so often the answer just falls into our lap, so to speak. You want to comment on that, Nan?
I can think of times in my life and even now. You know, that Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to spend time, like you just said, in the Word, praying,
yes,
praising.
We do.
And the answers they do come.
Yes.
I mean, I've had some situations in my life, some really tough times, bad times.
Right.
But I would stay focused on God and spend time. I can remember 5:30 in the morning at my little recliner, knelt down before my recliner, spending time with God.
Sure.
He gave me the answers. The answers came to me.
Right.
But I put in that time of spending time with him.
I think that's the key right there. As we've been talking about becoming disciples, disciples have to be teachable. We're going to talk about that today. They have to be willing to hear from God. They just can't go off willy-nilly, so to speak, in their own thing. Right, PJ?
Well, yeah. I mean, I use me as an example. I felt a call on my life even before I got saved.
Right.
I mean, I knew I was going to be a preacher, a teacher. But it didn't. I got saved in 1973, and I didn't start leading a church until 1989. I mean, there was a whole big long time of preparation
in
there.
Sure, absolutely.
There were some things I did that lengthened it, I'm sure. But to be a disciple is to be trained, to be teachable, to learn.
Yes.
You know, the 12 were with Jesus for 3 years. And sometimes you wonder if they learned anything. you know, you read it.
I like their humanness, frankly.
Well, I do
too.
It
shows us that we all have a chance, you know.
I know. And I mean, even after the resurrection, Luke in the book of Acts says that he taught them for 40 days about the kingdom, and they still didn't understand it.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Woo, we got a lot to talk about today. When Jesus called James and John, Andrew and Simon and others, it says in the Gospels that the disciples just left their nets. They left, John and James left their dad Zebedee in the boat along with the nets they were repairing and followed Jesus. I love this song. It's been on my heart this week. The Well by Casting Crowns. Leave it all behind.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken, just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will. Try, Now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me. 'Cause you come to the well, yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of a
leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Leave it behind. Go to the well of God's presence. It's his word. That's spending time with him. Go to the well. Nan, God gave you something, a poem during that song?
A poem.
All right. Song. Let's hear it.
I desire to use you in my kingdom, little one. I want you to move forward, to share with others, my son. Look to me even this day. Trust that I have all things in control. I see the brokenness you feel. For with my power, you'll be made whole. I love you with an everlasting love. Everything will work out for you. You'll be able to share with others, sharing all that I will do. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to give a praise report if
Please.
I could right now.
Yeah.
You know, I work for the school system in Hillsborough County.
Right.
And the particular position that I had was funded. I've been there since 2002. But just through circumstances of moving around, I was in a position that was funded through September 30th.
Right.
This year. And we weren't sure what was going to happen. I have a 12-month position. Or I earned 4 weeks vacation a year. I did not want to give that up. I wanted to stay in an office, not a school. Just all kind of variables and factors played into this. And with God's help, I used this situation of sharing my God more with my boss than I ever have in the year I've worked for her. And I kept telling her, God's in control. He's going to work it out. I trust God. God's in control. You know, and I would get the opportunity to share that with her as they were trying to figure out what to do with my position. And I said, you know, I said, my God's in control. I want to stay here. However, if he has somewhere else for me to go,
I'm
on it.
That's the right attitude.
You know,
yep.
And God moved. And Friday afternoon, the federal funding is everything there. I stay there another year. I'm very excited about it. But God moved that.
Yes.
And in that situation, you know, she's been asking about my church and asking questions. And, you know, so this just gave yet another opportunity to share that God is in control and
right.
He will move in our lives. And I want to encourage the listeners that, you know, regardless of what they may be facing, job situations, relationship situations, children situations, you know, all types of things they're
right.
facing, trust God
right.
that He's in control. Look to Him, praise Him, read the Word, spend time with Him, read the Word, and He will move in your situation.
Amen. Good. Thanks for the poem and thanks for that insight and that testimony. And as disciples, we are followers, right, Pastor Jim? I mean, a disciple is someone we've defined many, many times here, that a disciple is somebody who follows someone. You want to talk about that?
Well, yeah. And by following, it's not just following after.
It's not like drink the Kool-Aid in New Guinea or wherever that was. Where was that? No, it wasn't New Guinea.
Guyana. Well, no, it's not that. To follow after someone is to learn from them, to be taught of them.
Yes.
And also, the person who's doing the leading, doing the teaching, the discipling, should the disciple should be able, and this is kind of an onus on the discipler, should be able to model their character.
That's right.
After that person. I mean, Paul said to the Thessalonians, we didn't just share the gospel, we shared our very lives.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So it's being a disciple, but there is an onus on the leadership too. There's that there are those things that the leaders must do. In fact, I was talking.
I heard you. I want you to share that to Brother George. Yes.
One of the, well, I'm using two different devotionals. One is a prophecy a day. And that one yesterday, the verse was Mark 16:20, about how God will confirm his word with signs following. Because we had been talking about, you know, people not, why they don't come to church. And one of the reasons that Bishop George was seeing was that people just don't believe the word of God. And I concur with him on that. And I said, it's because we don't back it up with signs following.
Right.
And the other one that I had, the other devotional that I used is all about the presence of God. And, you know, it was talking about character. This so far last like week has been comparing character and power.
Right.
And you shouldn't have one without the other, because one of the reasons some people stay away from church is, well, what about so-and-so who moved in the gifts but was caught with a prostitute, or, you know, whatever. We've seen that in the headlines.
Well, sure.
The secular news just loves to eat that up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they love that. But, you know, it's got to be both.
Right.
You know, as leaders, there has to be character and there has to be power.
There has to be both.
Otherwise, we're going to lose disciples. And, I mean, I grew up in a powerless church. And I much prefer seeing the hand of God move
right.
than just hearing about the gospel, because right. why should I believe? What's it going to do for me?
Well, and I think a lot of people have gotten used to church being powerless and full of hypocrites and full of gossip and full of all those kinds of things that are human traits. Go ahead.
Well, then why should I go?
Right. And so then people get to the point, they're like, I don't need that. You know, I can get that at work. I can get gossip and you know, infighting at work. And people, that's not what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be full of disciples. And some of you out there might be thinking that disciples means that you had to be one of the original 12. That's not what that means at all. And it means a part of that is being willing to be trained and taught and have a purpose in your life more than just a place to go on Sunday for 45 minutes or an hour,
or
right?
Two or two and a half
or however long the Lord, right? However long. I mean, this is exciting church we're talking about. We are not talking about stand up and everybody's going to sing the second and the fourth verse and then you're going to sit down on the next song. It's not like that at all. It is all about learning to worship God and be in his presence and learn what he wants to say to us in that service and through that teaching or through that music. Talk to us, Nan.
Well, there were several of us who went out to lunch today. And one in particular, anyone was invited to go. It wasn't an elite group or anything. But one of them was, we got talking about God moving in services. And we got talking about, if I recall correctly, you know, your preaching and your style and you, the way you preach, which is great. And this person was talking about how at a certain church that he went to, that the people would have like a whole year's worth of sermons. And they would go to the file folder and pull up which one was for this Sunday and go there and preach from that, you know.
Or read it.
Right, read it. And that's not...
It's not at all what we do.
That's not at all what we do, you know, because we have fresh manna, fresh word that we hear every Sunday. And that's where people need to be in their churches. They need to be in churches that have that, because it's so much more alive and it's so much more rewarding for us to hear and that type of thing.
It's a new day as far as ministries are concerned. I do believe a lot of people have stopped going to church. We see that statistically across the nation. But why have they stopped? And I believe that part of it is exactly what you're saying here today, both of you. And that is, if people can't see any difference in our lives and yet we call ourselves ministers of the gospel, what's going on there, PJ?
Well, and I was thinking too, if a church is not making disciples, I mean, that was the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all people. If a church isn't making disciples, then it's not going to grow. It can't. I mean, you can invite people in, but if you're not discipling them, they're likely just to wander away and, you know,
lose interest, exactly. Get bored, all that stuff.
Right.
And so it's incumbent upon leadership in churches to, number one, be spirit-led, full of the Spirit of God, full of the fire of Almighty God, full of the anointing, so that we don't know what to expect when we come to church. Because what is God going to do today? Dan, I don't know about you, but I love that.
I love that, too. I mean, that is... I came from kind of a background that was pretty much that, you know, so I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I did, it was, for the most part, that was the way it was, you know. And I mean, I have attended some churches that weren't quite that way too, you know.
Sure.
And I definitely prefer what I have now.
What we're talking about, dear ones, is that the Spirit of the living God comes into your heart and lives in you when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As you go along in your walk with the Lord, you begin to realize you can have more of the Spirit of the living God. And that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. And he comes to people who are willing, and some people sometimes are like a little scared and hesitant. But when the Holy Spirit descends upon you and within you, then the gifts of the Spirit begin to flow through you. A lot of times you get your prayer language. To the Holy Spirit, you're just open to the flow of the Holy Spirit. And this is when church becomes not a drudgery or not something we gotta do. I gotta go to church, but it's something where you're excited about doing, Pastor Jim. You want to get there. You can't wait to see what the Spirit of the Living God is going to do. Like we feel about next Sunday.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wow, 45 years ago, almost. It'll be 45 years the end of October, and. I know, even though I went to a non-charismatic church on campus, I couldn't wait to get there. And I think, and I know the listeners have told me this before, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in October. Well, come Christmas, it's like, and after I got saved, you know, it happened too, which was the year before in October. But everything came alive. Christmas songs, again, first, second, fourth verses. No, I wanted to sing them all because there's a lot of good stuff in those Christmas carols, the old ones. Easter, the resurrection day. I mean, I grew up in a Methodist church, so we always sang Christ the Lord is risen today every single Easter. I remember after I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, that song came alive. It's like, oh, wow. I serve a risen Savior. Ooh, I get blessing in those songs. And it's like, why don't the rest of you feel this way? Come on.
It's the Spirit of God in you. Once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you see things different. You want different things. You want to see the Spirit of God move. You quit being afraid of God doing something, you know, in a service that is a powerful and people are healed or people are set free. Quit being afraid of that. You expect it. You want it.
Well, yeah, and I think that's part of it, too. People are afraid, which is why Paul gives instructions, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14.
Right.
On the proper use of the gifts.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I've
Absolutely.
Been to some churches where people were just pretty wild. And if I didn't know what was going on, I would have ran out the door.
Right, sure.
You know, because it was kind of out in, it was a little bit out of control. But, and I know, well, like my father, one of his coworkers went to the very church that I'm describing that I had gone to for this coworker's mother's funeral. And I mean, it was a really, really Pentecostal church. And when I told my dad then that I'd been filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues, that was his reference point.
Yeah.
So he like thought I was not, I mean, he thought I'd lost my mind.
Right. You know. Yeah, they can do that.
I know. But obviously I did not, so I'm still here.
Amen. We're glad you are. We're going to play a song right now by Vineyard, the UK Vineyard, and it's called Holy Fire. Because that's what we're talking about. Fire of the Holy Spirit coming and descending on us and changing us into what He wants us to do and be.
Holy fire from heaven, descend to us, we pray. Let us burn again. Holy fire from heaven, consume our hearts today. Let us burn again. Let us burn again. Breathe again. Holy breath from heaven, revive our hearts today. Let us breathe again. Let us breathe.
We're hungry, Lord, for what you want to do in our lives. We are hungry for a move of your Holy Spirit. Nan, did you want to say something there?
I did.
And we're going to the book of Joel, people. You have time to find it.
It kind of goes along with what they were just saying there. Let's breathe again.
Yes.
And, you know, we need to be breathing in the word. We need to be sharing that word with people, too.
Yes.
It's just not... Well, this is for me and only me, as a church.
Right.
And what I thought of is that, and I have not issued the challenge yet to Beaconites. I was going to send them a text.
Uh-oh.
I started where some mornings I'll get up and I'll say, Father, at least five times today, I want to make someone feel good.
Yeah.
And complimented the lady on her dress. Oh, my gosh. You know, you think you gave him a platter of gold. Ending that encounter with, and have a blessed day.
Right.
And I find that some of these people say, have a blessed day back to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm identifying, we're identifying each other as Christians out there. You know? But I would offer, you know, a challenge. Just do that. I mean, some guy had red tennis shoes on at this 7-Eleven. They were great-looking shoes. So I told him that. And sometimes people will almost take back about that. But we need to share what we breathe in. We
Amen.
Breathe in God's word. We breathe in the Holy Spirit. We breathe in all these things. We need to breathe out some of it and share with people because they need to know.
Amen. Well, is it working, Pastor Jim?
Yeah.
He had to change out his headphones. We're going to Joel chapter 2, and not where I intended to go, obviously, right? Yeah. But that's okay. For just a minute here. In verse 21 of Joel chapter 2, listen to these words. Fear not, earth. Be glad and celebrate. God has done great things. Skipping down a little bit, be glad in your God. He's giving you a teacher. Now, I didn't know this verse was right there when God said go to Joel 2 a minute ago while that song was playing. And here it is. It's a prophecy. And by the way, I have a grandson named Joel. Love the name. And it's Joel, through the prophet Joel, he's saying he's going to give you a teacher to train you how to live right. This little section of scripture is right on for what we're talking about today. Disciples are people who are willing to be trained and taught. Listen to this in Joel chapter 2, about verse 22, 23, 24, somewhere in there. 23. And then you can read it in your translation. Be glad in your God. He's given you a teacher to train you how to live right. Teaching like rain out of heaven, showers of words to refresh and nourish your soul, just as he used to do. And plenty of food for your body, silos full of grain, casks of wine, and barrels of olive oil. Talk to me about this, Pastor Jim. This is hot off of the press from the Holy Spirit right here. And it so goes along with this.
Well, yeah, and I have the New American Standard, and I'm looking at it going, where in the world is she getting this? But I have a little footnote here, or a little explanation. Or possibly the teacher for righteousness.
Mm.
So if I read it that way, it'd be, rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you the teacher for righteousness.
Right living, right standing.
He's given you a teacher to teach you this. And he's poured down for you the rain, the early and the latter rain as before. And I love it. Everything, this is God's blessing.
Yes.
When those rains come, Israel at this point was a very agricultural society. They depended on the early rains, which oddly enough were in autumn, and the latter rains, which fell in the spring.
Right.
They depended on those. If those failed, the crops failed. And God says, I'm going to send you that. I'm going to send this teacher. I mean, it also says, he's given you the other translation, the other way to say it is he's given you the early rain for your vindication. So that would be the autumn rains. And he's poured down for you the rain, the early and the latter rains as before. And I love what he says here later. And this all has to do with being taught and being a disciple.
It does.
The threshing floors will be full of grain and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Well, we go into quite a bit about what that symbolizes. The grain being the word of God, the new wine, the spirit, the oil being the Holy Spirit. And I love this. I love verse 25, and I will make up for you the years that the swarming locust has eaten.
Oh, yeah.
The creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust. My great army, which I sent among you. God says, you know what? And I was, you saw me probably in here marking like crazy. I was marking up Psalm 25.
Yeah.
But then I had to move over into Psalm 119 because, you know, in Psalm 119:71, the psalmist said, it was good for me to be afflicted or good for me to be humbled.
Humbled.
So that I would keep your word.
Right.
And that's what happened here. God, because Israel walked away from God, all these things happened to humble them.
Right.
And God says, you know what? You're going to come back to me, and this is all these blessings are going to happen.
Oh, Amen. And that's really what we're talking about here in discipleship. True disciples want to be trained and taught. Because a lot of times they've gone through difficult times and they've had to learn as they go how to rise above, be more than a conqueror, to take that situation and let God turn it into an opportunity, not a devastation. You're just seeing all kinds of things in Joel 2. Go ahead.
Well, this is back in verse 22. Do not fear, beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness have turned green. The tree has borne its fruit. The fig tree and the vine have yielded in full. That is prophetic right there, speaking about the restoration, the incoming of the Jewish people to believe their Messiah. That's the fig tree. Who's the vine? I am the vine. You are the branches.
Jesus,
that's the church.
Right. Amen.
That's the
Amen.
Church.
Amen.
And we're yielding in full. There's going to be that great harvest.
Yes.
With
yes.
both the fig tree and the vine.
Absolutely there is. And so when we decide that, hey, okay, I want to be what God wants me to be, all kinds of things begin to happen in our lives. And I think we can all say amen to that. And there are times that it just seems like it's really, really hard. And what we see in the scripture is that when we are willing to be trained and taught, we just enter a new level in the presence of God. Instead of letting these things absolutely wreck us and tear us apart, we are willing to be transformed, to be changed. I love that, and I love the truth of that. Nan, did you want to comment on that at all?
Well, you know, we have various stages that we go through. As, you know, some people might look at you and say, gee, she's a pastor. I want to be a pastor. But there was a lot of steps, many, many steps, of various types of things that got you to where you are today. Not that I've arrived and said it's a great thing. I ran across a list the other day of things that I would do in previous churches where I attended, and I was like, wow, yeah, I did that, and then I did that. And then they would increase, as, if you will, in level, for lack of a better word, of responsibilities. You know, the word tells us if you're responsible for small things, it give you greater things to be responsible for. And some people don't want to go through that growth process, and they need to. They need to be wanting to be disciples. They need to be willing, and they want to be taught in order to move forward in the kingdom of God in the way that God wants them, and as maybe the way they want themselves. But God has a big plan.
Absolutely, and we have to allow His Holy Spirit to do that. We are going to Matthew 5 here shortly, I think. I mean, we never know what God's got in mind here. But listen to this song, Lord, I Need You, because people, you can't be a disciple if you're not relying on God.
Amen.
And if you think you can do this walk alone, you can't. Can you grow and become what God has planned for you if you are doing it on your own? No, you will fail miserably. Lord, I need you. More talk in a moment.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holy name.
close to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Praise God.
Righteousness, oh God.
Oh, amen.
I need you.
We need you, Lord. If you're going to be a disciple, you got to understand your need for God. You got to understand your need to be trained and taught. We're going to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus, during his ministry, it says, was getting huge crowds. And so he climbs a hillside. And those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. And that doesn't say that all the crowds followed along, Pastor Jim. It wasn't everybody that he had been ministering to followed him up on that hill. I think that a lot of them came to see what was going on. This was an attraction, you know, like a major new event. But I don't think everybody went. It says that those who were apprenticed to him, who were trying to learn from him, the committed, they climbed with him, and arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and he taught his climbing companions. Now, very interesting that he went away from the crowd and got to a secluded place and began to teach those who were among his followers, his disciples. And it doesn't say that thousands were there. It just says that he was getting a lot of huge crowds, so he took whoever wanted to climb with him. And that's really kind of a definition of disciple, somebody who does want to go that extra mile, who does want to learn the principles of God. And we call this passage scripture the Beatitudes. It's how to have an attitude that will make you and be, cause you to be more like Jesus. I love that, because these are the Beatitudes. In verse 3 of Matthew chapter 5, then I want your comment here, Pastor Jim. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. In a lot of translations, it says poor in spirit. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. This teaching was contrary to what religious people probably thought at the time. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on any of that?
Oh, yeah. And I guess I see it a little bit differently.
Okay.
That he did climb the mountain so that everybody could hear him.
Because, and that could be, too. We don't know how many people heard.
Right, because I know, I think there were always those who hung on for the bread and the miracles. Okay, and that's always going to happen. Not really committed, but I think he still wanted them to hear these words. The 12 went up with him, as they always did.
Exactly.
You know, the large crowds are going to be down toward the base of the mountain, but they could still hear him. It was kind of an acoustic thing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm sure that was the case.
And, you know, I'm going to add the footnotes here in the New American Standard. Blessed, fortunate, or prosperous are the poor in spirit, those who are not spiritually arrogant.
There you go. That's the word humble right there, right? That we've been talking about this morning in sermon, and now humble means teachable.
Right,
go ahead.
Right. I like that, because some people get, and I've been there, believe me, I can be as spiritually arrogant as anyone. But God says you're blessed when you're not that way, when you are teachable. Because if you're arrogant, you're going to think you know it all. Well, pastor can't teach me anything new. I already know it all, you know.
But there are people do have that kind of attitude. Some people do.
I know. And then they're not teachable.
Right.
I mean, they're never going to learn unless you become teachable and humble. I mean, what did Jesus say? Unless you humble yourself as a child, as one of these little ones, you can't be my disciple. And that's having that, I mean, a lot of people will kind of romanticize it. Oh, you know, the wonder of a child, the believing of a child. Well, it's also just the humility of a child, being teachable. When do you learn languages the best? When you're a child.
When you're a child. The younger you are, the easier it is to learn.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the point that Jesus is bringing out when he says, be like a child, be like a sponge, soaking up all
soak
the word.
Up. I love it. My little Joel, I mentioned him a minute ago, he's two, a little over two, and he's learning all his colors, his shapes, and all of that. And they're spending a lot of time with him because he's the first. The other one is coming along here soon. But, you know, they're spending so much time teaching him and training him and how to behave, how to act, and also just, you know, the ABCs and all that kind of thing, right? And so as a child, 2 years old, you can learn so much. And some of you out there may be a child where it comes to the kingdom of God and the things of God. And you think, well, I don't know the Bible, so I can't really be a disciple. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is talking, let's go right back full circle, Pastor Jim, to what you and Bishop George were talking about out here before the show. Character and power, not just power, is what's going to be effective with people.